Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Right back in on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty on a Friday morning, Red Friday. I didn't get the memo.
No, you did not.
It's because it's Red Monday.
Yeah, we got a game Monday night, right?
Not Sunday.
It's all right.
Right?
Well, good.
Sundays.
Sunday, Monday. It doesn't matter when.
No, yeah, no. It's, Fesco and Dusty here, brought to you by our friends at Rainer Garage Door of Kansas City. LiveMasters patented MyQ Technologies, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
So. Yeah. So, George Brett in studio. Good morning. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Baseball's over.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Baseball's over.
I know.
Great.
Oh, you're great?
I had like a moment just now of like the movie Something About Mary where he like walks in. He's like, the hell's Brett Favre doing here? I was like, the hell's George Brett doing here?
Did I get replaced
overnight? Like, it's been a great 2 months, Bob, but obviously this guy has probably got a little bit more clout than I do.
The Hall of Famer is going to take over for you, Dusty.
Okay. Now. I tried that once.
Yeah. You did.
I tried.
We had fun with that. Yeah.
You and me and Frank Bull. That was a lot of fun.
It really was. Yeah. And, you know, you get used to it and you're like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore.
I just remember you guys would be all prepped and I wouldn't know what the hell you were talking about. And one day they were talking to some guy, coach or something, or recruiter, and they were going over the top high school football players, and I go, what about that guy? Isn't there a guy from Olathe, Kansas that's like the best guard in the country? And the guy's going, the expert, you know, I'm going, I'm just BSing you, dude. I don't know what you guys are talking about. And I didn't know anything. I did not know anything. I was just there for comic relief, I think.
And you did a great job with it. So anytime you want to come in and be the comedian for us, you know, feel free to do so. I mean, you've had some good ones over the years. The Barstool interview that you did was unbelievable. I mean, you probably get more stuff and more people talking to you about the crab legs and whatnot than you do talking about your baseball career.
Well, basically, yeah. I'm known for two things, the hemorrhoids in the World Series and the crab legs in Vegas.
Yeah.
Those are the two things people know about me.
And right. Now,
if you're under 40.
Yeah.
If you're under 40.
And now they know
they
about it.
They don't even know I played baseball.
They know that you... They also know that you want to take a urinal out of Kauffman Stadium, apparently.
Well, I would do that, yeah. When they tore down Yankee Stadium, I tried to get one. When they did the new one, I tried to get one of those from the home clubhouse. How great would that have been?
Oh, my God.
You got a Babe Ruth, a Lou Gehrig, all those guys went number one in there. How great would that have been to have one of those in your house?
You know who pissed
I don't
in
want
that thing?
The number two. I don't want that one.
Yeah.
But give me the number one. I got five of them in my house right now.
You have five urinals in your house?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them from? Any?
I got them right from the store, but I could easily replace one with one from Royal Stadium.
Are they in a line, or is there like a separate? Are they in different rooms?
Okay. I have three boys.
I didn't know if we were all going down
and
the
I
Brett
remember
basement.
One time. No, the reason I got them, I remember one time I went downstairs and there was somebody didn't flush the toilet, and I got all three of my boys, and I was pissed, and I took them down there, and I had them by the back of their neck, said, "See that? Somebody didn't flush. I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't your mother. And I know it wasn't our dog.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of you three guys that didn't flush. The next time I see anything in a toilet that's not flushed, all your heads are going in there. So you better start flushing right now."
Yeah.
We never had a problem again.
But
then we built this new house, and I'm going, okay, when you build from scratch, it's easy to make anything. So you're going, okay, I want my bathroom here. We'll have a toilet here. Yeah, let's put a urinal right there by the window. And then we go down to the kids' room, and the kids, when we moved in, they all shared a bathroom. So they had three sinks, a walk-in shower with three. It was like a locker room.
Yeah.
And I said, well, they need a urinal there, too. And then the next thing you know, in the workout, well, we need a urinal there. And then the next thing you know, oh, we need one there. And then let's put a urinal by the garage in case the kids have to take a leak going to their Little League game or something.
Right.
So we'll put a urinal there. So I got five of them.
I tried to get a urinal in our bathroom when we redid it, and my wife is like, no, we're not doing it. I go, it's the only thing I want.
It's the best thing in the world. I got one in my master bathroom, and there's a window right there, and every morning I get up and I go, number one, and I look out and I can see what the weather is, you know, because it's like, oh, God, look, the sunny, oh, it's going to rain all day or whatever, you know.
So you can pee and look at the weather. It's great.
Exactly.
You really are an old man these days.
It doesn't work at 4 in the morning, though.
No, you can't see
anything. This morning at 4 in the morning, I was using it.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
Hitting 390 in the bathroom as well. There you go. That's great.
You say that, though, like people forget about you playing baseball. And we are getting into that generation. I keep reminding these because I'm the old guy now around here, right? Like,
How old are you, Bob?
47. Yeah, I'm getting up there. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 71.
Oh, my God.
Be 72 in May.
Yeah.
I'm 37.
Yeah. I got my son with me. Dylan, you're 30?
Yeah. 30. I'm 30. And he's the youngest, right?
No, Robin's 29. Young.
Okay, so, oh, my God, you got almost all 30s.
He's 28.
28,
29, 30. 31, 30, 28, and then Robin will be, he'll be 29. They're 3 years apart on Robin's birthday.
Okay.
Once you get to 25, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't anymore. And then now you are going to have a daughter-in-law coming in 2 weeks, right. I guess, right? So you're getting ready for the wedding and all that kind of stuff. A lot of fun, isn't it?
My wife asked me how much I wanted to be involved. I said, not much. And believe me, I'm not. I'm not.
He didn't say yes right away. I knew where this was going.
I said, I really don't want to be involved.
Yeah, you normally know someone's mentality towards a wedding when they're like, oh, man, it's going to be great. We got a great venue. With cover. George just comes right in. It's like, so I told my wife, I don't really want to be involved.
You don't.
You don't want to be involved.
And you always prep the best man to just be like, 30 seconds. Nobody needs the origin story.
Well, Dylan's the best man.
There you go.
30-second speech,
right? How long
right?
is your speech going to be? Yeah. You going to be all right?
90 seconds. I love that. That's great. You know, no one's there to see anybody talk. We want to hang loose. We want to cut some rug and get our highs and buys out of the way. And then the real ones stay and the ones that don't, they get out.
That's exactly right. So you have no involvement in this thing.
Well, she did say that. She said, look, we're going to have the rehearsal dinner. We have some friends of mine flying in that I've been to their daughter's weddings, the Obradovich brothers, Jimmy and Stevie coming in. I have my buddy Hartley coming in from Hawaii. Jackson's got a family that he lived with in Australia when he was there for 2 years. They're coming in, bringing their whole family.
Wow. And all these people staying with you?
No, just my niece and nephew. That's it.
Good.
And they each have two kids. So they're the only ones staying at the house. So, yeah. So make a long story short, my wife said, okay, you can go ahead. These are the people sitting at the table. So me and Jackson one day, we're strategically looking at this thing. And all of a sudden we're going, okay, we'll put him here, him there. They know each other. Yeah, and we got Mike Sweeney sitting next to Jeff Davenport because they obviously know each other. And
sure.
Mike's going to say a prayer.
Nice.
He's going to say a prayer for Jackson and Monet, which would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I see Jackson about 3 or 4 days later, and he said, Mom, tweaked your list a little bit.
So, of course he did, right?
Of course, yeah. And Jackson and I worked so hard on it. We really worked hard on it.
I know, you
but
do.
That's life.
Yeah.
But, I'll tell you what's crazy. He gets engaged. When did he get engaged? December? January? And, right before Christmas. He gets engaged. And so I go, well, when you get married? And he says, November 16th. And I go, well, why November 16th? He says, Dad, I want all the clubbies to be able to come. Because he was a clubby for 6 years.
Yeah.
5-6 years. You know, he was the ball boy, the bat boy, shined shoes, unpacked the bags. He did that for 6 years.
Yep.
He was doing it when he was in high school.
Oh, God,
And he said, I want the clubbies to come. And I want Jeff Davenport to be able to come, and, you know, I want Rex to come. And I go, well, do it in October. Dad, what if they're in the playoffs?
Mm.
They won 56 games
year
before. And my son, who's a diehard Chiefs fan, a diehard Royal fan, says, Dad, they might make the playoffs. I go, are you crazy? What are you smoking, dude? Sure enough, they made the playoffs.
Right.
Is that unbelievable?
Wild.
So that's why it's in November instead of, it could have already happened.
Yeah.
You know?
It's smart. No, it's good planning on his part.
Yeah. What's the over-under of Coors Lights at this wedding for you?
Oh, I don't know.
Why did you kind of you did a different gear at a wedding.
Yeah, you do, but you got to pace yourself because I'm the father of the groom, not the bride. Yeah.
So you got to give a speech.
I think I give one at the rehearsal
you
dinner.
You do? Oh, perfect.
I give one at the rehearsal dinner.
Okay. And
that was supposed to be at the country club, but the country club had a little fire, so now it's someplace else. And we had everything all arranged and the wine and everything, and now we're having it someplace else, and you can't bring the wine. So my wine cellar has really grown over the last 2 months.
I'll come over and take a couple
months.
Of bottles.
Yeah.
I need some extra wine.
What's your go-to juice? You Pinot Noir,
my favorite is Silver Oak.
Okay.
Silver Oak is my favorite red. You'll think I'm crazy on this one. My favorite white is butter.
You like a nice buttery Chardonnay?
Just butter. Screw top. It's like $18.
It's like a Chardonnay?
It's a Chardonnay. Okay. And I have a grill out in the backyard. When I'm doing chicken or fish or something on the grill, I'll have white wine. So I have a bottle stashed in the refrigerator right by the grill.
Right.
Next to the urinal.
No, there's no urinal. Oh. That'd be a great spot by the grill. We have a big backyard, and I just go in the backyard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So then when I go out to barbecue, I grab a glass out of the refrigerator.
There you go.
And I go out there, and then I can open the thing down there and fill it up a couple times, and then I go back in, and then I have another one at dinner. My wife thinks I've had two glasses.
Yeah,
I've actually had four.
Yeah, that's a whole bottle. There you go.
So it's great. I love the screw tops for that one reason.
Addition by subtraction.
But it is a good wine. It really is.
Butter. Okay.
Dick Vermeil always said, he goes, it doesn't matter what the price is. If you like it, then it's a good
exactly.
wine.
Exactly. I got some Vermeil at the house.
Yeah, he's got some good wine.
Yeah, I like it.
I do too. Yeah, very good stuff.
Did you enjoy seeing the Yankees lose?
Yes.
Okay. I did too.
I'm from L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, I grew up in L.A.,
fair.
So
that's fair.
Yeah.
So you had two dogs in the fight.
Yeah, so I was pulling for the Dodgers. I normally pull for American League, always beat the National League. But
unless,
this year I was pulling. I still just don't feel right about the Yankees. I don't. Mm-hmm. I there's something. Maybe I should go see a psychiatrist.
No, it's good. It's good. You got to have that kind of hate. Like, I'm sure if you talk to a lot of the Chiefs from the 60s, they still hate the Raiders.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those are the guys you battled with all those years. How many times did Steinbrenner try to sign you?
Never. I was always on long-term contracts.
You were.
Yeah.
Okay. So he never came up to you and said, I want you or anything like that. Good.
No.
Good, man.
Now I know why you punched nettles. He didn't flush.
We'll keep Jordan's
studio. He might have been at my house.
That's right. We'll keep Jordan's studio for a little bit longer. Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggett. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Royals Hall of Famer, Baseball Hall of Famer, George Brett in studio with Bob Fesco. By the way, I think this is...
Hit to short. Whip gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit, couldn't beat it out at the other end, turns into a double play.
Oh, my God, Bob.
There you go.
Yeah, Bob, I've never heard.
Receipts around
people
here.
Have told me about how he was pulling for the Yankees, and I'm going, well, I don't know. I didn't see any of the games. I saw them all in person. I wasn't listening to the broadcast, and they kept bringing up that one play in particular.
Mm.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Isn't
How
it?
About great play by Bobby Witt and Massey turning a double
listen
play?
To the, listen to his it. Voice drop when he says, yes, he can.
Hit to short. Witt gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault.
Wow.
A near base hit. Couldn't
now,
beat it out at the other end. Turns into a double play.
Our announcers on radio call that.
Right, exactly.
And hear how they do it.
Yeah, right, exactly. And hear how you do it the right way as opposed to being depressed because Giancarlo Stanton.
Heart smash to Witt's right, backhanded, down on one knee, flips it from his knee over to Massey. Massey to, who was playing first?
What's his name? Gurriel.
Gurriel stretches, double play, double the Royals turn two. No, that's not what you get.
You and I should do a game next year. Just the two of us in the booth. You think they'd let us?
You know, we should just do one for and do it ourselves and just for our own sake.
All right.
Let's do that.
All right. I'm in.
Huh? I'll do that with
okay,
you.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
there's always an extra thing. We'll just tape it.
It's funny you ask about the double play.
Two balls, no strikes. Bubich deals. Ground ball short. Diving stop went to second for one, to first for two. And the inability for Stanton to run shows up for the second straight game.
I guarantee if it was the Red Wings scoring a goal against the Canucks, he would have really went crazy.
Denny would have went nuts with that one.
We will have Mitch Holtis join us here in a couple minutes. George, when it comes to football season, I don't know if I ever picked your brain about this. Do you lock in on Sundays? Or is
yes.
It kind of,
okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So what do you love about the Chiefs so far this year?
I think their defense has been outstanding.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think Spags done a great job. Their offense, they just seem to be able to get it done. I mean, obviously, Mahomes is Mahomes, and Kelsey got off to a slow start, but he had a great game against the Raiders, which, you know, you knew he was going to come out of it sooner or later. I think the new acquisitions with the new guy, the new receiver.
DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a big plus.
Mm-hmm.
His first catch, he caught like a 12, 14-yard pass for a first down.
Yeah.
He's only been practicing with the team for a week, for crying out loud.
Oh, this week's going to be big for him.
Yeah, yeah. But Andy Reid is just, and Brett Veach have just done a great job. You know, they somehow managed to put winning players on the team. And you know, didn't they have a stretch with all the injuries to their wide receivers where they had one wide receiver and they were using three tight ends pretty much every play?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Patrick can just, he can throw it over here. He can throw it to this guy. And he's just an amazing guy. He's just incredible.
It's wild. Have you met Taylor Swift yet?
No. No.
Is that on the bucket list?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Maybe you've met this guy that joins us now as we get into Mitch Holtis, who joins us here on 96.5 The Fan.
I bet Mitch has met her.
The voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holtis on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Mitch Holtis here, joining us on 96.5 The Fan, our show we call Fesco and Dusty. Still pitch black outside, but bright red in everybody's hearts on a Friday. Silverstein Eye Centers, achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. And also, Mitch Holtis brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I know you've been listening. There's a guy in the studio that you might have heard of named George Brett, and he might have a question for you, sir.
Well, first of all, here's the 2-2 to Brett. Swing and a liner into right field. It's a base hit. 3,000 hits for George Brett. Can't get enough of that. Here's Bob Costas' call of that if it's against the Yankees. 2-2 to Brett. Oh, there's a hit to right. 3,000 hits. God, the Yankees are going to lose, and Brett's killing these guys.
Oh, my God.
Gossage. There's the pitch to Brett. Swing. Oh, God, it's going into the upper deck and right field. It's a 3-run homer for Brett. Royals are going to beat the Yankees.
Royals, the Royals are going to win the pennant. Oh, gosh.
They're going to win the pennant, God, and Brett just took Gossage deep, and oh, crap.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Totals after this.
Yeah. Ryan has the totals next, right?
Ryan has the totals and gone.
Wow. Wow. So you noticed it, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Well you're an announcer. I mean, when you listen to other sports and stuff, do you kind of critique them?
Well, you try not to, but honestly, you do. It's part of the – I mean, it's like you watching hitters. You're probably thinking, nah, this guy's doing this and that and this and that and this and that. In fact, I know you do because I've been with you a couple times. We've done it. But when I did basketball, when I was doing a whole bunch of college basketball, I was neutral. I walked into the arena. I didn't care who won. And I tried so very hard to be down the middle because I knew what that game meant to everybody. And yet people would say, oh, he was for this team or that team. And I wasn't. But in that case, I mean, come on, Bob. You can't you've got to be neutral. But, yeah, that was awful. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm glad you don't do national games because you're such a – icon here and your excitement for the Chiefs, and you can be a homer here. We all know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we all know that. I mean, I've seen on YouTube the when you're standing up doing the broadcast, and all of a sudden the Chiefs have a great play and they score. Man, you're throwing your arms and you're going crazy and all that stuff in your little booth, and you couldn't do that if you're Tony Romo doing a game with Jim Nance.
Well, Romo, I think tries sometimes, but no. But to your point. I forget that GoPro camera's in there. In fact, I've been at a couple of events this week, and they go, you know it's in there. I go, no, I forget it's in there. So that's all very organic and real. But one thing I do, George, and I think Bob and Dusty will back me up on this, I research the other team. I'm going to tell you a whole lot about the Bucks. You know, some homers will act like we're just playing some team. There's so many stories that need to be told about the Bucks, particularly if there's a local angle to the team. Levante David mm-hmm. plays for the Bucks. He was a great player at Nebraska. He's one of Nebraska's great pros. He's been in the league for 13 years, all with the Buccaneers. He had a career not as good as yours, but he was with one franchise. Josh Hayes is their best special teams player. He's a K-State kid. I mean, I'm going to mention those Kansas City kid. Rashad White is their top running back now, and he went to Center High School here in Kansas City. The second time in 3 weeks, by the way, we played a kid from Center High School. Now, hopefully Rashad White won't try to throat punch Patrick Mahomes like Malik Collins did. But so the point is, yeah, I'm a homer for the Chiefs, but I'm going to fill you in on the other team and try to give you as much information about those guys as I will about the Chiefs.
Mitch, who gets more doubt, Baker Mayfield or the Chiefs?
Who gets more what?
Who gets like more doubt? Like, you know, you always say you can doubt the Chiefs.
Chiefs
and, yeah. And then you got Baker though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Well, that's when the Cincinnati mayor, the jabroni, as Kels called him. That's when I said, I just had taken all this crap all week and didn't say a word. Our guys didn't say a word. And then it just burst out. Like, you can doubt the Chiefs, dislike the Chiefs, disrespect the Chiefs. You got to deal with the Chiefs. Well, you know, you can dislike Baker Mayfield, but you got to back up and look at what this kid has done. He's Rasputin. He just keeps fighting back. And this year he leads the NFL with 21 touchdown passes. He's had to adjust his game, losing Chris Godwin for the season. He won't have Mike Evans in this game, but he still threw for 330 yards last week against Atlanta. He's just adjusted. He's been highly productive. He's second in the league in attempts, completions, completion percentage. He's way up there, top three. I mean, he's good enough to win this game on Monday night. So the Chiefs, we all have to sit here and deal with Baker Mayfield this week.
Mitch, is this the game? I mean, I know we don't need to see it because of, you know, Patrick Mahomes, but obviously the Chiefs' defense has been key, the interior linemen, but the offensive linemen as well. Tampa's not really that strong in their secondary. Is this the game that, like, Mahomes kind of shows everybody, like, hey, take a chill pill. It's not a bad season. I'm still who I am.
Well, and this is the question I asked you guys a couple of weeks ago, and I think George alluded to it. I was listening before I jumped on. If you figure out a way to win, like in baseball, George, if I win 7 one-run games, that's a strength. In football, you're supposed to blow everybody out. If I win 7 one-possession games, oh, my God, they're not that good. It's a sign of weakness. It's just Patrick, who's thrown 95 on the black, has learned how to throw a cutter. And so he's throwing different pitches to get you out. Now, if this is a game, to give the analogy, you want to throw 95 on the black, Pat can do that against these guys. The perplexing thing about the Buccaneers is, I mean, they started 3-1, but they've been 1-3. But their defense, remember the Super Bowl 55 defense. This is not the Super Bowl 55 defense, although they still have Vita Vea up front, the guy that's larger than one Kansas City place. They still have Lavonte David if he's healthy, and they still have Antoine Winfield Jr. at safety. These are all elite players. But they've given up, Dusty, 35 20-plus plays this year. That's near the bottom of the league. And 27 20-plus passes. There will be a chance to get some shots and big plays in this game if the Chiefs can protect Pat just another couple clicks.
What kind of test is Spags looking at this week with that offense? I mean, with Godwin out, you know, you got Mike Evans out. What kind of test is Spags facing?
Well, let's go back to where Mayfield's adjusted. He turned his emphasis to the tight ends and running backs. And last week nearly beat Atlanta because he targeted Cade Otton 10 times, a real good tight end. And then the running backs are more involved in the passing game. I mentioned Rashad White's a very good receiver. And then Bucky Irving, who's on the injured list yesterday, we'll see how it comes out today, but he's right now the best running back among rookies in the NFL, at least statistically. But here's the big one. When Spags blitzes, he is by far the best in the league because opposing quarterbacks, get this one, have a QBR, quarterback rating of 48.75. They're just killing these guys. But Mayfield, when he's blitzed, is second in the league in quarterback rating. He's up near the high 130s.
Wow.
So it's one of those something's got to give, right? It's Goose against George.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. You got the guy that's the best against the blitz, and we blitz a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe they won't blitz as much. Who knows?
The side on blitz. It's huge, man. George, this one's dealing with – he's just ornery enough. Mayfield is just ornery enough to pull this off Monday night. And he loves to be blitzed because that means somebody's going to be open. Now, Spags has the challenge of blitzing him into submission, which is what Spags likes to do. But it's a bigger challenge with depending on the quarterback, and Mayfield's up for the challenge. So, yeah, there's a lot to deal with in this game.
Mitch, this is kind of off the cusp, but, I mean, I'm sure you've met me a couple of times, so you know that's pretty par for the course. Who's the equivalent to George Brett in the NFL today?
Do I even have to answer that?
No, I know what you're going to say.
Joe Tooney.
Just take the one off his jersey, and he's five.
Mm-hmm.
What did he wear at Texas Tech? He wore five.
Both enjoy Coors
Light. When he came to the Chiefs, he wanted to wear five.
Yeah.
But Cairo Santos, our Brazilian kicker kid, had five. And Pat, who he is, goes, nah, I'll just take 15. Just put a one
on front. Oh, my God. He could have been a great number five.
Could you imagine if he would have worn number five?
You know what's crazy? When he became when he got the MVP.
Yeah.
He sent me a jersey signed to me from one MVP to another.
Oh, God.
That's tight.
And he and I are the only two people in Kansas City ever to be MVP of the league.
Yeah, that's wild.
Did you know that?
Yep. Yeah.
And he's the one that told me that.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I got a jersey. I got it in Arizona, in my closet in Arizona.
Yeah? Do you ever wear it out?
No. 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 Come on.
Honestly, George, and guys, that tells you all about him. Of his awareness of that and the fact that he's not, hey, I'm the smartest guy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all that. That's what's amazing about him. And I love him so much for it, is he gets his surroundings and understanding. I mean, he knows who you are, knew what your career was like.
Well, I played against his dad. You know, for years. Yeah. And I remember when he bought the house in Mission Hills and he wanted to join Mission Hills Country Club. Mark Donovan's a member of the club. I'm a member of the club. And we knew the people on the board and the admissions people. And we kind of leapfrogged him up a little bit and had a meeting with the board of directors one day. And I had him and Kelsey out to play golf a few times with my boys. And then he became member. And I remember the day before he was going to camp, I said, Patrick, you got to come out and play with some of the guys, you know, get to meet some of the members rather than bring your own game out here. You got to get to know some of the members, because he would just bring Kelsey out and Garrick Dieter and a couple other guys. And so sure enough, he comes out and plays with a bunch of the guys, the younger guys, the Mike Gilligs of the world and other people that are regulars out there at the country club. And he played. And so after the round was over, I said, hey, it was great. Hope you had a good time. He said, yeah, guys are really good guys. I said, well, let's get together on an off day. We'll come out and play golf. He said, I won't pick up a set of clubs till the season's over. I said, oh, well, I know you like Coors Light. Let's kind of get together, come over here for dinner one night. We'll have a Coors Light. I won't have a drink until the season's over. Yep. I said, well, I'll see you when the season's over. And then they won all these championships. Yeah. I've never seen them.
You haven't seen them since.
He quit the club. He moved to Loch Lloyd. Now he plays at Loch Lloyd. And haven't seen him since.
The fact that you had to get Patrick Mahomes approved by the board of the country club to get him to be a member, was that before he played a game here?
This was when they were doing well.
Oh.
And they were doing well, but we had Mark Donovan and I had to get up and say some things to the club about him and what a great guy he was and what a great asset he would be to the club. And, you know,
that's wild to me. That's wild.
Yeah. And now he'd just buy the club, George.
Yeah.
He'd just buy it.
Hey, Mitch, 2 weeks ago, you called it the drum set or the thimble game. Last week was kind of a revenge game or just kind of hold in tight to a team that likes to fight. What's this one, as we get you out of here on this last question? What's this game kind of look like to Mitch Holtis against the Bucks?
Take care of the kid who crashes the party, who's kind of cool, but he's kind of ornery. You don't want him to ruin the party. You'd rather have him enhance the party. That's Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
So keep the kid in check. He will turn it over. He didn't turn it over last year. He is this year. He had two ghastly interceptions last week against Atlanta that basically cost him the game, and he cost him the game the week before against Baltimore with a deadly red zone pick. Like, he's coming in, he's asking your daughter out on prom night, and you're like, this is going to either be great or this is going to be bad. There's no middle road with Baker Mayfield. Mm. So make it a bad night for Baker. Don't make it have him make a bad night for us. Let me give you my stat of the morning. George is going to love this. I'm going to give you a stat, Dusty, but I want to tell you my favorite George story, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. First is, here's my favorite stat of the game. DeAndre Hopkins right now is number one in the NFL among active players with catches, career catches. He has 945. Guess who's second?
Kelsey.
Trick question.
Oh.
He's tied for first. The two guys, get this, guys, they're going into Monday night's game. They both have exactly 945 catches.
That's wild.
How nuts is that? I had to look at it again. I'm going to double check this. They both have 9.45 going into Monday night's game.
Wow.
Tied for first in the league.
That's crazy.
Here's my favorite George Brett story. George and I were at the Tom Watson ALS thing, but we're over on the practice putting clock. One of the coolest things George said to me, and George, you had a little bit of a misty eye when you told me, it's Friday night. I love these Friday nights. You guys know how much I love these high school Friday nights. My alma mater, Smith Center, is playing Medicine Lodge, who's traveling 200 miles today to play that game. George told me one of the greatest things he's ever experienced when his boys lined up for Shawnee Mission East side by side on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And I think that's the coolest thing you ever said to me, all the baseball stuff. But I had that image, and a Smith Center kid, Mark Semino's coaching Shawnee Mission East now, that when you told me your boys were side by side and you stood in the stands and watched those guys break the huddle, I thought, man, that's awesome. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. They used to fight in the one time. I got Dylan in the studio with me right now, and Dylan was the guard and Jackson was the center. And the one time they told a story after a game, they came home after a Friday night, and they would always, you know, kind of be beat up. And Dylan would always have a scar on his nose because helmet would always, you know, break his nose or break the skin. And he had a scab on his nose. So I said, you know, tell me about the game. And he said, yeah, the referee had to come in the locker or in the huddle one time because I was screaming at Jackson because I had to block his guy all the time. And he said, hey, will you guys quit fighting in here? And he says, and then Dylan or Jackson says, hey, shut the F up. We're brothers, for crying out loud.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah.
All right, Mitch. Well,
I love that story. Yeah. I love it that your boys get to be side by side, and I can just picture you up in the stands watching that snap.
Number 66
and
67.
Those guys brought East football back.
Yeah, Shawnee Mission East football is back. Yeah. Man, no doubt about it.
Your boys helped bring it back.
All right, Mitch, well, you have a good call. We'll look forward to Monday night's game, and hopefully the weather prevails so you get it in the normal time slot and the normal process of the game. So we enjoy you. We'll talk to you next week.
George, lay off the nasty. Don't try to pull it.
You got it, buddy. You got it.
Just go the opposite way. It's a lot easier, isn't it? How about that, right? Like, my goodness, just go the opposite way. Like, all these shifts that used to happen, and guys would still try to pull the ball through 17 people on the right side.
Believe me, I was there in 2013, and I was scratching my head, and that's why I only last 2 months as a hitting coach. I told Dayton I'd do it for a month. I lasted two, and finally Mike Moustakas made me quit. He and Hosmer, they made me quit.
All right, more on that on the other side.
Is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience. Outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. You heard Bob. More on that on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. George Brett still in studio with us. His son, Bob Fesco, and his son, myself, all here. We're not really father and son.
No, but we could. Alex is my son.
Yeah, right? Alex. Yeah, sure.
Alex Gold is.
He's younger. Like, you'd be 10 years old if I was your son. That's weird.
That'd be weird.
Be kind of cool. How old were you when you lost your virginity? Yeah.
Well, I got a 37-year-old son, and I'm 47. You do the math, right?
Nine and a half. Yeah. You have to use the half age. You're too young.
Yeah, that's right. The half age is still big till about 10 or
that's
so.
Right.
You know.
Now, we go back to a quote George had on the other side where he said he was the hitting coach. And I still think that one of the best quotes I've ever heard you say, and I know you've said a bunch of things in the history of your Kansas City-isms here, but you were in the booth on TV with LeFevre and Huddler. And I remember Huddler or LeFevre asked you the question because there was like a dramatic shift on somebody. And they were like, George, what would you hit in a shift today? And you're like, 500. And like without even reacting, just straight to that. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, great. You're like, no, I'm serious. And then it was like the next pitch, and they're like, I think he actually means this. He'd hit 500 because it was just, we were just talking about that. Like, there's a wide open hole, and Bob used to, you know, very loudly would just yell bunt when somebody would come, like Moustakas would come up in the third base and play behind second base. I mean,
right.
I could bunt that down. I mean, I wouldn't make contact, but if I was, you know, I was slow.
But then you'd have to run.
Yeah, that's the part, you know. But even still, like, I mean, there's nobody there. I mean, I'm interested to know what you thought about the shift when it was around.
I thought it was a joke. I mean, yeah. I couldn't believe. I mean, I don't know how many guys in 2013 hit 300. I don't know how many.
Yeah.
I mean, how many guys hit 300 this year?
I think one or two.
No, there was, Judge did, Bobby did, Shohei did, that Arise guy did. But, you know, I'd say maybe a handful.
Like, can we count them on two hands?
I bet maybe eight guys. I think eight.
Okay.
300. I mean, I guarantee somebody could figure that out real quick.
Yeah.
But eight guys hit 300. Back in the 70s, there was maybe 30. You know, back in the 80s, maybe 30. Back in the 90s, 30.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they came up with launch angle and exit velo and all that stuff. And it's went down way down ever since.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody stands on the plate now. Everybody wears an elbow guard. Everybody wears a shin guard. They don't care because they can't take an inside pitch and hit it the other way. And you go back and you look at videos or games that were played in the 70s and the 80s, everybody stood off the plate. So you could take that ball in the inside corner and still hit it the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were more, we were more of an artist type of a hitter. You know, we were artists. We could manipulate the angle of the bat, where nowadays they just swing. They just swing. And so, you know, what kind of artists would we be? We'd be the Monets of the world, mm-hmm. or the Picassos of the world. And nowadays these guys are just throw shit on the wall or throw stuff on the wall. Right. Oops, that wasn't supposed to come out.
We're effing now.
That wasn't supposed to come out.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They just throw stuff on the wall and hope it sticks.
Right.
Where we kind of had a plan, you know. We were real delicate. We wouldn't swing with all our might. We would go out there and swing 70, 80% sometimes. Sometimes you swing hard.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it was about making contact, moving runners over, taking advantage of a situation where you could hit the ball and just get it in the hole.
Yeah.
You look at some of the great hitters, Rod Carew. I mean, Rod Carew, put a shift on him. If you're going to put a shift on him, you'd put everybody on the left side of the infield. They wouldn't put a play him to pull it. And then he would just pull the ball, you know, because we could manipulate the head of the bat.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people don't know how to manipulate
the head
of the bat.
To give you some statistical background, 2013, 35 guys hit 300 or better. This year, 7.
2013?
35 guys hit 300 or better. 2024, 7 guys.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. See,
drastic
amazing.
Change.
That's amazing.
That's a huge change.
And that's
change.
About when all that launch angle and stuff came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I hate it, but whatever. I think, you know, stats and all that kind of stuff
made up. So in 2013, and I love Mike Moustakas. I knew Mike when he first signed with the Royals. I called him the day he got drafted. I called him the day he signed. Welcomed him to the organization, went and watched him play in the minor leagues, watched him play in the major leagues, obviously. And then in 13, when Dayton and Ned Yost and David Glass all called like 5 days in a row, hey, would you consider being the hitting coach? And finally, after the fifth day, I said, okay, I'll do it. Two of my kids were gone. I only had one in high school then. So I did it. And, you know, Moose was hitting like 180, and they were doing the shift on him. And
mm-hmm.
So I said, Moose, have you ever thought about hitting the ball the opposite way and just to get the average up and just move off the plate a little bit and learn how to manipulate the bat a little bit? He said, screw the shift. I'm going to beat it. And I went right there. I said, we're in trouble. We're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
And then one day, first at bat of the game, he's hitting like seventh. He hits a line drive to the center fielder. The guy doesn't even move. The hardest ball hit in the whole game, you know? And the guy doesn't even move. He catches it. Moose goes in, throws his helmet, gets a towel, starts screaming bloody murder in the corner of the dugout. And I look over, and I got Pedro as my assistant. I go, he's done his job. He hit the ball hard. That's all you can do. So I walked over to Moose, and I go, hey, what are you so upset for? You hit the ball right on the nose. That you did your job. The guy caught it. Big deal. He says, yeah, they never caught yours. They only catch mine. I'm going, oh, my God, Moose, give me a break, will you? Well, we're best friends. I did his podcast. He and Eric do a great
It's good.
They do great, and they both were there. And I told that story to Moose. He says, I know. I was just an idiot. You know? But those guys are great friends.
Yeah,
I love
it's
them
the
both
best.
Dearly. Do I agree with the way they hit? No. In fact, last year I almost called Hosmer before spring training. And said, Oz, would you consider signing with the Royals? You know, Vinny was a question because of his shoulder surgery. We didn't know what he was going to do. And to bring Oz back, I think would have been good for the ball club, you know. But one of the things I was going to tell him, you got to take your top hand off when you swing. You watch him in batting practice. He would take his top hand off, and he'd hit line drives, home runs, fly ball home runs, and just hit the crap out of the ball. The game would start. He would leave his top hand on and hit ground balls everywhere. I said, the only way that you're going to come back and the Royals will take a chance on you is if you take your top hand off in a game. And I was getting ready to call him, and I never did. And then Vinny, you know, we started spring training, and I talked to JJ about him a few times. Hey, mm-hmm. you think we should maybe bring Haas in? All you have to do is pay him minimum salary. You're getting – somebody's paying him $22 million a year.
Right.
You know? And we never did. We never did invite him, but, I mean, The guy had unbelievable potential, but I just never agreed with leaving both hands on the bat.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, something so
small
like that.
And Alex Gordon was the difference. Mm. He would practice with two hands on, every swing with two hands on the bat, and then the game start, take one off.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get those guys around the cage. I'd say, well, let me ask you a stupid question. Why would you practice one way and play another way? That doesn't make frickin' sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my routine. Well, your routine's not working. You're not as good a player as you should be. And all of a sudden, I started alienating myself from the players.
Yeah.
That was the bad cop. Pedro was the good cop.
Sure, sure.
And finally, no one would even listen to me. No one would talk to me. One day, I went down to the cages, and I go, come on, I'll do your soft toss, Sal. Oh, I'm waiting for Pedro. Come on, Gordo, I'm waiting for Pedro. Come on, Moose, I'm waiting for Pedro. There's two cages, and everybody's in line, and there's one cage, and I'm standing there, and finally, I just afterwards said, okay, nobody wants to hit off me? Okay, I'll go in. I told Ned, this is my last game. I'm done after tonight.
Yeah, you're done. Get the hell out of here.
Nobody wants to listen to me anymore. I've worn out my welcome.
You know, it's funny you bring up those guys, because 9 years ago today, we won the World Series, you know, beat the Mets.
Yeah. Nine years
ago today.
That's what was so great about being in the postseason this year.
Yep.
Every game against the Yankees, it was, oh, yeah, 46 years ago, you hit the home run off Goose, or 44 years ago, you hit on this day, you mm-hmm. know, oh, 47 years ago, you got in a fight with Nettles, and it just brought back so many memories, you know?
Right, yeah. But like that 14-15 team, I was thinking this morning, like, we talked a lot about that after it happened, much like the 85 team, and I remember enough with the 85, like, somebody else has got to start winning around here.
Right.
And now here we are, 9 years later, and we've got this organization in a really good spot right now, don't we?
Yeah.
You know?
I hope Waka comes back. I really do.
Do you think he will?
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, I think he really, really enjoyed the guys on the team. The camaraderie they have and the culture in the clubhouse is so good. I mean, I was down there. I don't go down during the regular season, but I was in Atlanta for all those games, and then I was in Baltimore for all those games, and then I was in New York, and then I was in Kansas City, and just it was a culture that – man, it reminded me of the 14 and 15 teams. It really did.
Good. Salvi has a lot to do with that.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And how about Sal winning the Roberto Clemente
Award? How cool
that's
is that, right? It's a man of the year right there.
Yeah. That's deservedly so, too. I mean, he does a lot of stuff that people don't know. And that one video of him stopping by some guy's backyard playing wiffle ball with the kids, I mean, that brought tears to my eyes. It really did. And I'm going, God, I should do that sometime. But you know what? I haven't seen anybody playing baseball in a yard.
Well, I was going to ask you, when do you ever see that anymore,
right?
You
never see it.
Here's Grumpy Old Men Part 2 over here. Nobody plays baseball anymore in their yards, you know?
But just to go get involved with kids, you know?
Yeah.
It's like last night trick-or-treating. Did you trick-or-treat last night?
My kids have kind of aged out now, and we don't have any kids in the neighborhood. We had it, but there's no kids.
Do you have candy dust? Do you have candy outside?
Oh, yeah, I did my civic duty. I had 12 to 15 kids last night. That was it.
I guarantee we used to have 200.
Oh, guaranteed.
I bet we had 50 last night.
That's it.
And I was wearing my F-16 fighter pilot suit. I always wear it, you know, that or a caddy every year and dress up and nice to people when they come up.
What's the candy?
Kind of
full candy bar
guy? My wife buys the foot-long Snickers, and she buys
the big
ones.
She's a great lady.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to your house every year.
And people come over and they'd say, hey, take one. And, you know, these little brat kids would take four. I said, hey, why don't you just take one? But last night the kids were so good.
Good.
They were so great, and they were from Indian Hills and, you know, St. Teresa's and stuff like that, the schools, and the parents were always down at the bottom step as they would come up.
Mm-hmm.
They were just the most polite people I've ever seen, but there was nobody out.
No.
I went to bed. I went to bed at 8:15, and we basically turned all the lights off because no one came for a half hour.
Yeah,
turned all the lights off, put the candy out in front, big bucket of candy, and I said, "Please be thoughtful for other people that might come by." We went to bed.
Yeah.
And there was probably 150 candy bars, and I haven't checked it this morning.
Yeah, probably all still left.
They might have took the whole bucket, too.
What's your address? I'm kidding. I know this might be a dumb question. Are you the only Royals member in the Baseball Hall of Fame? He's the only one. Can't see Royals, right?
Yeah, guys that are in it that played Denny's for him, but only 1 year.
Okay, Sal Perez will join you, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he will. Yeah.
Do you have any say in that?
No.
Okay, you should, because he is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I think this playoff reassured to the world, Salvi's a legit Hall of Famer.
Let's hope they're not done. I think having the Roberto Clemente Award is definitely going to help.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll help.
Yeah.
He's got some years left. And we all saw Freddie Ketchum this year, and Sal can play some first.
He really can.
Good first baseman. Yeah. I remember years ago in spring training, he was over there just taking grounders, horsing around, and I'm going, God, he looks pretty athletic over there to date. And he says, yeah, I think he could play first, you know? We're not going to put him in center field, I'll guarantee you that, but you could put him at first and let Vinny DH and let Freddie catch, which we didn't do in the playoffs because we needed Vinny's bat, you know, and Vinny was DHing, and we had Gurriel. So, Sal's he's going to make it. There's no doubt in my mind. Hopefully he's not one of those guys that has to wait 4 or 5 years after, get in. I think he's a first ballot right now.
I do too.
His stats are going to get better. Mm-hmm. He's going to hit more home runs. He's going to drive in more runs, and he's going to be up there with the Johnny Benches and the Gary Carters and the Carlton Fisks and there's not many catchers in the big in the Hall of Fame.
I know
that's kind of a tough position to get in because they don't play that long.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last one to go in was Budge Rodriguez.
Wow, that is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Him and Piazza, I think the last two. Yadier Molina might get in there.
Yadi will go in, yeah.
Yeah,
Yadi,
well, he'll go in.
He'll go in. He's not in yet.
No.
Sal for sure will go in.
But he's not eligible, is
not
he?
Yet.
No, Yadi's
he's only been out 1 year.
Yeah.
Two years.
Yeah.
I think Joe Mauer.
And Sal's just going to get
Joe Mauer.
Joe Mauer, he didn't play that long.
Yeah.
He didn't play that long, but when he played, he dominated.
Yeah, he did.
No doubt about it.
Won batting championships as a catcher.
Great-looking sideburns.
Do you like those?
I got the beard. I had a mustache for Halloween and then had to grow it back out. I got carded for a Snickers, even the king size. That's how young I look without this thing. So, George Brent, studio, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likers. We'll be right back on the other side, get to our cover two and what's in the script here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.